I want us to look at God's Word, but I want us to look at God's Word and God's church, God's house. And today we're going to be looking at a question that is very, very serious for us in our generation. And that question is, why such loss of respect for the local church? Why such loss of respect for the local church? I truly believe that respect is taught in the home. I believe that parents, how you raise your children, has a lot to do with how respect will come from your child as they grow. Jesus says, I love you, and I want you to know something. I love you so much that I am going to allow you to respect me. Yeah. God says, I'm going to have such a close association with you. I give you permission to respect me. Now, do we? Why would God offer the human race such a blessing? I look at three main causes for the loss of respect for the local church. And all these causes point back, first of all, here in this church, to me. It points to the Christians. It points to the truth as to why people no longer feel comfortable in coming to church. We have on our stone marquee out front, whoever you are, come as you are, whenever you can. I always remind folks, when we're getting into the hotter season, as pastor, I have a right to curtail that a little. When you come to church, you will wear something. Whoever you are, come as you are, whenever you can. God looks at us as His representatives. See, the church is the body of Christ uniting together to form the reflection of Christ. Each one of us have a piece to play, no matter what the age, in God's ministry. We're a part of that big jigsaw puzzle called life. And as being a part of life in God's message, in God's house, I have to play my part. You have to play your part. Well, I thought it would be interesting for us to look, and you know, what happened? What are the three causes? First cause, I believe, is the lack of discipline. The lack of Christian discipline. Now, what are you talking about? Well, some people say, well, he's talking about in the habit of going to church. I do not want you in the habit of going to church. I do not want you in the habit of reading your Bible. A habit is an unconscious act performed due to frequent repetition. Means you're asleep in the pew. We got enough doing that. I don't want you coming to church out of a habit. I want us to be disciplined in our actions. I don't want an instant reflex. That's what we do from the physical part. Somebody throws something at you, your hands go up. Unless it's Brother Randy throwing at you a praise from God, and the preacher's hands don't go up high enough. But it's a reflex. You're going to protect your body. It's a reflex and a habit that belongs to the world. To Christians, the word discipline must play the leading role. To discipline yourself, that comes from discipleship. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple must be disciplined and practice that discipline in everyday life. Now, Jesus knows the human weakness well. The 12 that followed him, oh man, were they rough. The 12 disciples. So Jesus is going up to pray Thursday night, the very night he's betrayed, knowing he's going to be betrayed. He tells his disciples, well, he takes three of the inner core with him, Peter, James, and John. Y'all stay right here. Oh, by the way, pray. You don't have time to sleep. I want you to pray. Jesus comes back three times, actually. He comes back, and they're asleep. They are asleep. And people said, yeah, but the scripture says that because they were tired. Well, isn't it amazing that Jesus stayed awake on the cross? You think maybe he might have been tired after dragging the cross there? You think maybe after being nailed to it, he might not have a good excuse for saying, boys, I can't stay awake on this one. I'm going to pass out. He didn't have time to pass out. He did not have time to quit because he had made a promise to you and to me, and he had every intention of keeping it. Well, Larry Pete's going to be born one day, and I've got to die for him. And he looks at each one of us. He knew us before time began. Said, I love you. Woo! Said, I love you. And I had not yet, according to Scripture, creation had not started. And God loved me. That's a lot of love. And that's a long time to love. It takes discipline. It takes discipline for you women to love your husbands. I mean, it ain't easy, right? It is not easy to love them. Husbands, keep your mouth shut. God loves us individually. Accept that. And he says to you and me, I got a job for you to do. Peter, James, John, pray. And listen to Scripture. Mark 14, verse 37, 38. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Now listen to what he says. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Can't you picture the answer? Just resting my eyes, Lord. You ever used that one? I was not asleep in church, preacher. I was just resting my eyes, snoring at the same time. And God looks, and he looks at Peter, and he loves him. Do you know that? He said, Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? The hour has come, Christian. Can we not keep watch for that 1 hour? The hour of the end? The time to when a whole world is collapsing? Morality is gone? The power of God's church is gone? The respect for God's people and God's church is gone? And what's God's representative within that church doing? Sleeping. Well, you know, I don't know what to do about the world. Pray. Pray. Do you think anybody knows what to do? I don't know how to fix it. God doesn't expect you to know how to fix it. That's not what he told them to do. You pray, he said. I'll do the fixing. You cannot on your own do anything. You cannot straighten your family out. You cannot straighten a situation out. And what do we say? Right at the end of our rope, we're falling apart. We're losing everything. Whatever it is, the illness has overwhelmed us. And we hear the statement, well, there's nothing left to do but pray. What? That's all we had to begin with. Because the doctors don't know. Do you really think a doctor understands you or me? Folks, we got to have a whole lot of folk within our congregation that battle with cancer. Many of us that were in combat in Vietnam had the Agent Orange. Many of us are battling a whole lot of separate type of breakdowns within our body. And you go to the doctor and the doctor says, I don't know, I've never seen that before. God has. You want to know who the great physician is? God. You want to know who can fix anything in your life? God. Well, Brother Larry, but what if I pray, Lord, remove this cancer from me and I die with it? Well, he took care of the job, didn't he? It's not death that frightens me. And that's a gift from God. It's life. It's living. The battle each day. And staying awake long enough to pray. And so the world walks into God's house, the church, and sees no difference within the church than in the world. So respect is gone. And then they say, well, there's a church full of hypocrites. Yep, we are. You know what that means? Parents, you're hypocrites. You know why? You're telling your children not to do the very things that you know you did yourself at that age. And that's an example of hypocrisy. Really? Yes. Yes, you tell your children not to do it, but you don't tell them the rest of the story. You know, when I was your age, I did a lot. No. Parents, keep your mouth shut. Don't give them any ideas. It's bad enough. But the Lord looks at us and he says, I want you, Brother Randy, I want you to take care of Brother Randy's business and keep your nose out of everybody else's. But you better pray for Brother Randy and pray for your business, because if all of us continue to walk away from God's calling within his house, there will be no godly business taken care of in the four walls of the church, the four corners of the earth. Really, you're asleep. Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. What was their temptation? Go to sleep. They love the Lord. Go to sleep. Pray that you don't go to sleep. But preacher, you don't know how often I've started praying and go to sleep in the middle of a prayer. Yeah, and when you wake up, you're blessed. Going to sleep praying. That's a great way to nod off, isn't it? Amen. And the world tells you to count sheep. Go to sleep praying. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Then he says, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Old English, but the flesh is weak. The body itself is weak. The body hurts. The body is broken. But if I don't have discipline, just because, are you a cancer survivor, Brother Larry? So far, I may die with cancer, but cancer's not going to kill me, guaranteed, so far. But I have to discipline myself. Get on that right diet, Brother Randy. Now, I point at the spiritual diet as being a lot more important than the physical one. The spiritual diet is to watch and pray. My physical diet is peanut butter fudge and White Castles. Watching and praying is what's going to last. And then, number two, the main cause, a Christian's overconfidence. Nothing worse than a cocky Christian. A pious, self-pious Christian. I'll never do that. Oh, gosh. You'll never see me do anything like that. That's because you're hiding, probably. Sneaking around somewhere. Yeah, but preacher, I'll be there on Sunday morning. Good. Preacher, now if I go out and hit the town on Saturday night, can I come to church Sunday morning? Yeah. I want to give you a headache. Yes. Where do we belong? Are we not all undisciplined? And do we not all fall and falter at our own weaknesses? But if we get to such a point that we're overconfident, I would never do this. Be careful. Listen to Mark 14:29. Here's what Peter had said to Jesus before this trial. Everyone else may stumble in their faith, but I will not. The rock, Peter. Lord, I'll never turn on you. Outside of Judas Iscariot, the apostle, beloved Peter, was the only one that actually denied Christ three times. And do you know what he did to sort of add a period to his statement to the guards and all those who were asking him, do you know him? Do you know him? The scripture says, then he cursed. Oh, the followers of Christ would never do that. Well, he's right. He must not be one of those Christians. Maybe he didn't know Jesus. Maybe he was overconfident. Have you ever found yourself overconfident in situations? Those of my college students. Oh, I got this test. I got this test. And then they get home. Oh, the test got me. The test got me. That's the way with life. I got this. I got this. Here's what we do. Lord, do I have this? And if you want to be a good Kentuckian, Lord, do I got this? Lord, that's prayer. Well, now, what type of prayer? Lord will do it. You hear me? Now, listen to me, people. It is not important of how you put your words together. The most important part about your prayer is you said, Lord, you think God can't read your heart? You don't even know how to ask it in prayer, do you? I don't know what to ask for. Lord, I want to live a little longer. Lord, I just be just as excited about coming on being with you right now, because this stuff hurts bad. So you know what I say? Lord, read my heart. Look at me, because I don't know how to fix any of this. How can you fix something when you don't even know what's wrong with you? When you're not even sure what the next second's going to bring? How do you get that fixed? You don't. What God says is, I want to hear your heart. All the flowery words that you can muster mean nothing if the heart's not in it. You got that? That's important in broadcasting. Also, James, very important. Your heart's got to be in it. People hear your heart, the real you on the inside. And here's another one, the final one. A Christian's ego. Ego, I use as the acronym, edging God out. That's ego. Edging God out. Oh, I would never do that, said Peter. What'd he do? Lord, I got this. I don't need you right now. You go ahead. I'll sit here and watch and pray. Really? Ego. It's all about me. Oh, I'm such a good Christian. No, you're not. I got in trouble in one of my classes at Southern one time. When I was asked, I wish they wouldn't ask you, you know, a question. And then you give them the answer, and then that question, you really believe that? Anyway, the question was this. evangelism professor. Any of you get a word from God this morning? What was it? I had. And what God had said to me was, Larry, the best you can be is bad. They didn't, anybody in the class, appreciate that. What'd you ask me for? You asked me, did I get a word from God? And then he says, really? Do you think that came from God? I know it came from God. You wasn't there. Larry, the best you can be is bad. It's taken 40-some years of preaching for me to understand how true statement that was from God in that classroom decades ago. You see, goodness is based on Christ in me, not on me. The best I can be is bad. Jesus is already best, and he lives in me. And in the judgment seat of Christ I'll be teaching tonight, you'll see how he jumps in and said, whoa, he or she's mine. You belong to me. And I never could get it right from the human part. Well, somebody tell me how to live like a Christian. Go ask the pastor. Don't you dare ask me. I don't know what your calling is. A Christian's calling is the calling to live your life as Christ tells you. If you think you're going to live that life without fault and failure in your life, you are badly mistaken. Live your life. Well, what makes the difference? Lord, if you mess with me too much, I'll tell Jesus on you in a heartbeat. You got me? I've done it before. God, I can't handle. I don't know what to do. Go ahead. Tell God on them. See what happens. As God speaks to our life, don't let your ego get in the way. It's not all about you. It's about anybody and everybody but you. It's not about how bad I feel or what I have. It's about, for me, how bad you feel and what's going on in your life. How bad do you hurt? I have so many physical restrictions on me nowadays. Each of us do. We're living in a society that wants to find fault in everything you do. So Christians have decided, I just won't do anything. Surely they won't find fault in that. Yep. They will. You know what they'll say? See, I told you. That Christian over there doesn't do anything. They profess to be a Christian. Really? I wonder if any of these people ever read the Bible. It's obvious. They may have read the words, but they did not meet the Lord. For it is God who dictates. That's right. You got the Bible? You know that that's a dictation directly from God to the penman of Scripture? Do I believe that? Sure, I believe it. I just know it. I can feel it. Do I understand it? Absolutely not. But God says, that's because you're human. Proverbs 16:18. Look at ego. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit before a fall. Go ahead and get cocky. But for those of you who love the ones that are cocky, call the pastor and maybe I can get there in time to catch them, because they're getting ready to fall straight in that ditch of life. Pride. Oh, I'm so proud. Don't stop when you say that. I'm so proud of what God has done in my life. That's the pride that matters for you. The pride of who Christ is, not who you are. It was Jesus then on that cross. It's the church now re-crucified by the world. Jesus then, his church today. Let's get rid of the Christians. Eliminate the church. How do we do that? Do it from within. Russians said they would do it from within. They've been colluding ever since I can remember. World War II should have taken care of that, but we didn't. Let's do it from within. Destroy a nation, how? From within. Destroy a family, how? From within. But some of the worst enemies you'll ever have are in your own family, people. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, you haven't lived long enough then. You'll see it. For in those days, family members will betray family members. A mother will betray their father and their mother. Sons will betray the siblings, the father, the mother. Betrayal, betrayal, betrayal. Jesus went to the cross, and at that cross, he was betrayed. The church on the cross today, betrayed. Betrayed by those who are within. Those who've decided to do it their way instead of God's way. Your way doesn't work. My way doesn't work. And we betray God's church. It can only be done from within. Arrested. The church as Christ arrested. You know what's happened to us? We're confined to these four walls. We're confined. Arrested. We're on house arrest. So we get to come here on Sunday, pray and sing and shout, and then we go home on Monday. But we're not allowed to bring our Savior out. So you're a Christian, keep your mouth shut. If you're going to work for us, you do not say anything about this Christ. We are under arrest, confined to the four walls instead of the four corners of the earth. You want to confine me? Turn me loose and let me go to the four corners of the earth and proclaim the truth of Christ. And then denied. Christians, I hear you go to that Vine Grove Baptist Church. That preacher a little wild down there. Not as bad as a minister of music, but he's a little shaky. Oh no, I don't go there. I go to a so-and-so church. Really? You go to the boat with a Vine Grove Baptist Church shirt on, but you won't say, yep, I go there. You're part of us. Stand up, Christian. Be counted. You know how you're to be counted when you don't deny? You better believe I go there. How about coming with me Sunday? You might feel right at home. Because it's obvious you're as weird as anybody in our church for even bringing it up. You'll fit right in. Tell them how many warriors you have in this church. How many heroes that have saved lives and kept a nation free. Tell them about Jesus in the life of each one of those heroes. Beaten? Oh, have you ever seen such a beating the church is taking? The Christian faith is taking? Cursed? I won't even go there. A Christian is not only cursed, but a Christian is counted as the one who was on the cross. He who hangeth on the tree is cursed. And the church is there again. Crucified! It was said, in order to save the church, kill Jesus. To save the church, kill Jesus. Really? What church was that? The church of man. The church of power. The power structures from within. Got news for you. You kick Jesus out, you no longer are a church. Remember this. That beautiful picture of Jesus knocking on the door that we use in evangelism. See him knocking? Let him come in. Remember what he was saying? He had been put out of the church. and the seven churches of Asia Minor. And it was Jesus knocking at the door saying, "Let me back in. If you will open the door of the church to me, I will come in and sup with you." They locked Jesus out of the church. Let us not be a part of that generation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift our heart to you. Father, we come realizing that we know nothing about what's going to happen within the next second. We do not understand this world, this life. We don't know what's going on, Father. But one thing we truly do know, that you remain in control. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Lift us up that we might lift others. For we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.